Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. The first Friday of every month, Vegan Nation offers a two-minute segment with Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tips. Coming up is Elfie with her children.
This is Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 8. Superfoods. The concept of superfoods has become trendy and useful when you're faced with your own snack dilemma. But kids have slightly different needs and digestive capabilities than adults. And let's face it, superfoods aren't super if your kids won't go near them. I suggest exploring superfoods to see what your kids already love and what you think they could love, while keeping in mind that healthy vegan fats are your friend and high fiber could be your foe. Your family can have its own league of nutrition that becomes a staple in your household. That was Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tip, but remember, there's more beneath the surface.
I'm vegan. I'm going to be vegan forever.
I'm vegan.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. I am very honored and happy that joining us today is Elena Brodskaya. Elena is a vegan educator, an abolitionist vegan, and she is the co-founder of South Florida Vegan Support and Education Group. Elena is my first guest in Vegan Nation's Voices of Women series, Return of the Sacred Feminine. Welcome, Elena, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Marlene. Happy to be here.
I'm very anxious to hear about your knowledge and your insights and the philosophy from a vegan feminist. And I'd like to ask about your family heritage.
I am from Ukraine. I was born in Odessa, a beautiful city on the Black Sea in the Ukraine. And my grandparents and my parents were both old generations Ukrainian-Russian Jews, and we decided to come to the United States in 1993 to escape persecution, Jews, and we escaped to the land of freedom that is the United States.
I'm so grateful that you are here and that you are a vegan educator and a vegan activist. What's happening in the Ukraine with vegan revolution?
I am not aware of anything that's happening in Ukraine per se. I know in Moscow the vegan scene is very thriving. It's out there, and there are a lot of vegans in Moscow, and I think Russia in general. The Moscow vegan scene is wonderful. They have many vegan restaurants. They have a lot of activists. There were several videos of vegans being interviewed on television there, but it was Russian-based. Unfortunately, it wasn't Ukrainian.
Okay, well, that's great to hear about the strong vegan revolution in Moscow. And I would like to start with, Elena, asking you about your journey to veganism. How did you become vegan?
I watched a video called Meet Your Meat, which focused on the treatment of cows and dairy cows on slaughterhouses and dairy farms. So it's about a 15-minute video, and about 5 minutes into it, I was shocked and disgusted, and tears started running down my face, and I ran out sobbing, going, I had no idea, I didn't know. So that put an end to my meat consumption, but as far as the eggs and dairy, I didn't finish that right away. For some reason, I thought that I was doing my part, and I'm not eating meat, so it's okay. So for another year and a half, I was still consuming eggs and dairy and, of course, cheese. I love cheese. I was a cheese fanatic. And then about a year and a half, I became a vegan. I started doing more research and realized that vegan and vegetarian are not the same thing. Far from it.
It really is coming to an understanding that in a patriarchal carnist society, we've been duped. The truth has been hidden from us. The terrible oppression and violence and suffering of dairy cows and their bull calves and their heifers and the hens and the egg industry and, of course, the male chicks, all of it. Can you share with our listeners a fun vegan foodie tip?
The easy tip I can give for someone who is starting out is to just take your old recipes, whatever your beloved recipes, whatever grandma used to make or your mom, whatever memories you have. You don't have to toss those away. They can still be with you. Only you can veganize them. You can take out the meat and replace it with either tofu or seitan or tempeh or anything, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a faux meat. It could be a grain of some sort, or it could be a beautiful vegetable. So you can take a recipe that's already in place from whatever culture you come from, whether it's Italian, whether it's Latin, or any other wonderful background, and you can veganize it. You can take anything, just substitute it with vegan version of it. if it calls for a mayonnaise, just go for veganaise or just mayo, the two beautiful products that I like to use in my food preparation. I still use my mom's old recipe for a potato salad, and the only thing that you have to substitute is mayonnaise.
Elena, I'd love to hear about some of your tabling events that you do with the South Florida Vegan Support and Education Group.
Yes, we do tabling on Saturday mornings in the park called the Sanborn Square in downtown Boca Raton. And we have yoga, free yoga in the park in the mornings, on Saturday mornings. And that's where we decided to go because otherwise nobody really walks here in South Florida. We all have cars. It's really, really hot down here. So on Saturday mornings, we come out to Sanborn Square and we set up our table. And before yoga and after yoga, we talk to people. And also, we've been tabling at the Bean Scene Sunset Marketplace. The Bean Scene Marketplace is a marketplace that is all vegan vendors. There's live music every other Thursday. There is vegan food and vegan cupcakes and cookies and things like that, and produce and clothing and soaps. We also do classes and movie screenings. This last weekend, we did a movie screening of the film called Speciesism. And we have a class coming up in October called Vegan 101.
That's wonderful. And the marketplace you mentioned, is that in Boca Raton?
The marketplace is in Boynton Beach, which is two towns over from us.
That sounds fascinating. I haven't ever heard of any marketplace that is vegan. So I'm really happy to hear that in Florida, there's a vegan marketplace.
Yes, this is very, very new.
And I would also like to ask about your tabling at EarthSave, because in my experience, a lot of the environmentalists are still in denial of veganism, which, of course, I think is related to their own addiction, that they're not able to overcome their own addiction, so they're ignoring the essential practice of veganism in order for EarthSave. So what was that like?
Yes, and I agree with you completely. That was good. EarthSave, this particular event was put on by Butterflies Cats. She's a friend of ours, and she had come down from New Zealand, from Gentle World to South Florida, where her parents live. So she's been here for a couple of months. I know she's going back home next week. She happens to be an abolitionist vegan as well. So that was really inspiring.
Elena, I really enjoyed your post on your Facebook page, and it was a statement about if someone is opposed to slavery, bullying, exploitation, and violence, and if you claim to be a feminist, it really requires being vegan. I'd love to hear more details about that.
Yes, I believe you are referring to the quote by Gary Francione, who stated that if you are a feminist, if you consider yourself a feminist, then you have to be vegan because everything is a show of power. Let's say if a woman is being raped, she's being held by force, obviously, so it was male power, male dominated. And the same thing is happening on dairy farms right now. The cows, the female cows, obviously, are being raped every day, every minute, every hour. Their babies are being taken away from them. They're being kept impregnated at all times, and this is all because of the show of power. So if you are against violence, if you are a feminist, in my opinion, veganism is the next step in that journey, in that direction.
I totally agree with you, Elena. And it can be a little frustrating as we maintain our patience when so many feminists haven't yet either awakened enough to look into this, what you're expressing, or they're just in denial. I don't know. What do you think, since you come across it quite a bit, too, with your vegan activism?
I think it's a little bit of both. A lot of people sort of become defensive and they're in denial about these things. And part of it is not awakening. As humans, I think we are only ready to hear certain information when we're ready to hear it. So you can give out information, you can plant a seed, but people, they take their time in going vegan and really realizing what's going on around them and how to stop it. But there is a lot of denial, I think. So there's still something that's kind of not clicking. I was thinking this morning that it's so painful because we love animals. When we're born, we're innocent, just like little baby animals. And that's why we love them. We have this sort of compassion toward them. We love to pet them, and we have cats and dogs. And when little children are exposed to small animals or large animals, they love them. They just, they don't realize that they're eating, you know, what's on the plate is another animal who suffered and died. And when those children become adults, that sensibility, that sensitivity to animals changes. I think, you know, we become harder. And, of course, we forget. We forget. And it's so painful to see any information about animal rights or, you know, animals on dairy farms, slaughterhouses, that people just don't want to hear about it. They would rather stay blind. They would rather stay in the dark about this information than learn about it and just, you know, open up a part of them that's vulnerable, that's kind of going back to their childhood where they were innocent and loving animals and having this wonderful, beautiful relationship with them. So as abolitionists, we remember that and we try to educate them. So we try to engage people in conversation. We try to give them as much information as we can, and it's always abolitionist. It's never about regulation. It's never about welfare of animals. It's about stopping the practice of killing animals for food and stopping the practice of commodification of animals, stopping the practice of taking away animals' basic rights. That's what we're all about.
It's time to take a break. We are joined by Elena Bratskaya via Skype in Boca Raton, Florida. Elena has been sharing information about the vegan revolution in Moscow and the intersectionality of veganism and feminism.
Hi, this is Hugh Moffat, and you're listening to WCUW 91.3 in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Joe Lewis Walker, the Boss Talker, urging you to support community radio, WCUW, with a call to 508-753-2284 or online at WCUW.org.
Hi there, this is Andrew Tanacho inviting you to our Saturday morning program, The Albanian Hour, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Come and join us and have a great start to your Saturday.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow. We're very fortunate to be joined by Elena Bratskaya, a vegan educator in South Florida. Elena, I see that your work is very important to help educate and open the hearts, open the minds, and to change it from a consumer level, that the consumers have no more desire to purchase products of animal exploitation.
Right, yes. If you become vegan, when you become vegan, you stop the demand, therefore stopping the supply. That's as short of a description as I can come up with. You stop the demand, you stop the supply, and therefore the slaughterhouses will shut down. I am very optimistic, so, and I think that in our lifetime we will see that change. If a lot of people wake up, if a lot of people seeing this information, after seeing this information, will go vegan and stay vegan and teach their children to become vegan, which is more important than just becoming vegan, you know, but pass it on to next generation and generation after that, I do see that change. I do see slaughterhouses being shut down and obsolete.
Thank you, Elena. Again, I see it as the importance of us following the golden rule collectively as humanity, because as we sow, we reap. So when we want the safety and the good life for ourselves and our children and our grandchildren, it's that philosophy of extending that to the other non-human animals. And then in the long run, it will be a better world, a transformed world for all people as well as all animals. And again, it is only going to happen because of people like you as well as your boyfriend, Keith Berger. Yeah, I really enjoyed Keith's interview on Vegan Nation, which is in the archives at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. So I'm very happy that you both co-founded South Florida Vegan Support and Education Group.
Yes, thank you. And we're definitely passionate about bringing the idea of animals having rights to the masses. This is not about regulation. It's about abolition. It's about stopping this heinous criminal behavior of killing animals and their babies, fish as well. One of my focuses was lobsters, and in fact, that's how Keith and I met. this criminal behavior of killing animals and killing fish and using their secretions for our food and for our entertainment and pleasure, basically.
Thank you, Elena. Yes, I agree with you on that, too. And it really is going to take women to come to this realization, to awaken from the patriarchal kind of stupor into an egalitarian vegan lifestyle. And again, it's not going to happen unless there are vegan educators like you. So I appreciate you, as well as your boyfriend, Keith Berger, and Butterflies Cats, and all the other thousands of vegan educators and vegan activists who are passionately devoting their time to share their knowledge of veganism.
Thank you, Marlene, and same to you. Thank you for what you do. You're bringing all our voices out into the world so that we can be heard and hopefully inspired by and inspire many more people. So thank you.
And the vegan food on the simply the dietary end is so delicious. And everything, like you said, I was excited to hear about you mentioning veganizing all of mom's and grandmom's recipes.
Yes, it is. It's amazing how delicious it is, and it's amazing how we've learned to sort of mimic the taste so that we don't have to lose a taste of anything that we've come to know and love, but, you know, it's just nobody has to die for it now. Funny story, Keith's mom has gone vegan since January, and now since she's been vegan, she's loving it because she realized that she can veganize anything. And that's exactly what she says. She sent us pictures of food. Not only does it look delicious, scrumptious, but it tastes amazing. Been to her house for dinner many times since. Now she says, she's the one who says, I can veganize anything, and it's so easy. That's the beautiful part. That just warms my heart.
Kudos to Keith's mom, Joni. Elena, it's about time to wrap it up for the interview today. And are there any additional messages and contact information that you can leave with our listeners?
Yes, I did want to touch a little bit on the feminine side of things. I was talking to someone just recently about this place called the Red Box. We have it in Delray Beach, which is next town over from Boca Raton, where we are. And actually, they've had these places like that in throughout history. And it's a place, it's a sacred place for women to go and to bleed out their cycle or to get any help that they need or be creative or to give birth, to converge with other women, I guess. And what we have in Red Box in Delray Beach is very similar to that. You know, they offer yoga classes and Pilates and a lot of Reiki for women and doula assistances and things like that, which is fantastic. It's phenomenal. But I realized that the women there may not be aware of the other females that we share a planet with, which are cows and goats and pigs, any female mammal who gives birth to live young and whose rights are completely just are not being considered at all. So that made me sad. This is something that's been on my mind for a while, to become fully a full feminist. Is to become fully aware of what's going on, to really become, to gain your power, to become this vegan sort of divine soul, divine goddess. I think the most important part is to make peace with other creatures that we share the world with, and that includes animals that we use for food, clothing, and entertainment. So, you know, while we're busy talking about women's rights and women's liberation, but the animals need our attention too, and to bring it all together, to make that full circle, which is also a feminine sign, we need to learn about animal rights and become vegan, especially for women. I think a lot of women would be, I hate to use the word compassion because it goes so much further than just compassion. It is about justice. It is about rights. When we're talking about women's rights, we're talking about, of course, social justice. So when we're talking about veganism and animal rights, we're talking about social justice too. A lot of people don't realize that animals are not that much different from us. Just because they don't speak our language and because we don't understand what they're saying, it doesn't mean that they don't speak. And it doesn't mean that they are deaf, dumb, and blind. They can feel, they are sentient beings, they feel pain just as intensely as we do. They feel the love, the joy, the pain of separation from their babies, but we think nothing of taking their bodies and their secretions and eating them. So there's a disconnect, but I would love to talk to more women about that factor. If you consider yourself a female with the divine energy within you, then please consider other females that we're sharing this beautiful planet with.
In the wisdom traditions of all cultures teach, whatever we want most for ourselves, we must give it to others in order for that to be manifested on a global scale in the world. And so it's really up to women to seeing that connection. Like you said, there's a disconnect, and it takes making that connection, and it's only going to happen through education such as you do. Thank you, Elena.
Thank you, Marlene. And our contact information, people can find us on Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/ vegan support group. Also on Meetup, I believe they can just punch in vegan support and education group and we will come up. Our email is vegan education@hotmail.com. So people can find us in various different ways.
And Elena, was there anything else you'd like to add with the vegan feminist ideology?
We were a matriarchal society, but over the course of time, we became more patriarchal because men, as a generalization, have become scared of women and our powers, our divinity, what we can do, you know, because we create. We have the power to make other humans. I think as women, we are awesome. We certainly have a lot of power to make changes in this world. This world has become dominated by men and not very good men. Also, the female animals are just as amazing as human females, and we have to give them that right to live and to be, to give birth to their young on their own terms, to graze in the field and be free. That's my thought.
I have the same understanding. That shift from a matriarchal society into patriarchal, and a book I really enjoyed that has a lot of that information is The Chalice and the Blade by Rhianne Eisler. And from what I understand, it was the masculine fear and the jealousy over the power of women to create life. And so the idea of enslaving and killing animals came about out of that patriarchal need to show their power, and that shifted the world from a vegan style of life into a carnist style of life. And of course now we see where we're at with it. And so this is what's exciting, is the renaissance of the sacred feminine rising now, which is bringing the world back into a vegan style of living, which will create harmony and peace, because as we sow, we reap. So when we extend on our plates kindness, respect, then that will also ripple back into the human society. It's exciting to be able to have this conversation with you, Elena, about that shift in a global transformation.
Yes. Likewise, Marlene. I'm so glad you brought it up. And you said it beautifully.
Thank you, Elena.
Thank you, Marlene. Thank you for reaching out and doing what you're doing.
And I appreciate you very, very much.
Likewise, Marlene. Thank you so much for having me on your program. It's been a pleasure.
We've been joined by Elena Brodskaya, a vegan educator in Boca Raton, Florida. Elena has been sharing information about the abolitionist vegan approach, as well as the intersectionality of veganism and feminism. Before we close with today's program, I have two announcements. First, this weekend, October 3rd and 4th, in Worcester, is an animal communication workshop led by a vegan woman named Aria May. During both days of this workshop, the lunches are being catered by Chickpea Vegan Cafe. For more information about this animal communication workshop, call Aria at 774-578-2762. Aria's website is ariamay.com. That's ariamae. ariamay.com. The second announcement is that today, Friday, October 2nd, is the Global Fast for Farmed Animals, Animals of the Air, Land, and Sea. Thousands of people, including myself, have made a commitment to fast today as a statement, a stand in solidarity with the billions of farmed animals who are suffering unimaginable torture, tasing, fear, anxiety, depression, confusion, loneliness, and emotional, mental, and physical pain on the kill floor and transport truck, standing in the slaughter line, enchained and hanging on the slaughter hook, in the auction pen and on the auction block, and at the animal ag farms where they are suffering from legally sanctioned standard agricultural practices that, if inflicted upon puppies, kittens, colts, and fillies, is deemed criminal behavior. Furthermore, we understand that humanity's actions towards other animals based upon discrimination, exploitation, injustice, and misogyny inevitably boomerangs back into the human arena, somewhere, at some time, to someone, generation after generation. We are doing our best to stop these atrocities and transform this society into a culture of kindness and peace. In celebration of the powerful, noble work of Elena Brodskaya, let's go out with Sanctuary by Donna DeLore. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.